from the Philippines and his family. I went to visit Billy, you said 8 years ago, 2016, when I was younger, thinner. The kids were like this big, so now they're this big. So he's going to share the first session about his ministry in the Philippines and various ministries, and then the second session is going to be on equipping the saints, I believe. Is that right? Something like that. All right. Welcome, Billy Morgan.
I'd like to share. Let's open up with a word of prayer, if that's okay. Father, we're so thankful for this morning that we could come before you. We acknowledge our sins and we confess it at this time that we have an old man that still practices sin, but we have a new man that is made perfect in righteousness. I pray that as believers that we will walk in the new man and not in the old man. And I thank the Lord for forgiving us of all of our sins and trespasses according to your promise. And I pray, Father, right now as we share in the Word later and then also in our report, that and it'll bring honor and glory to you. And just let us do all things to your honor and to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to share about a mission report this morning. And if you have any questions, I think we're in an informal group. So just feel free to raise your hand. Or if you wanted to wait till after the end, I'll leave another 5 minutes for question and answer. So anyway, I'll go ahead and get started and discuss about our report. And I have a video without sound, so I'm just going to be talking to the video. And there's our family right there. There's Teresa, my wife, and then Will, he's the oldest, he's 17 now. And we came to this church back in 2014, that was the last time, it was a Wednesday night. So it was, 10 years ago. Rebecca's 15 and Timothy's 13. So you can see the pictures as a family. And these are taken within the past year. So everybody, pretty much most people know where the Philippines is. I got a funny story to share. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So because geography is important, and sometimes people don't always know geography. Most people do, but sometimes no. So I was in my old job, I guess this was like 2007, 2008. It was before I became a missionary. But I was already learning Tagalog or Filipino as a language to help prepare me for ministry. So I was practicing with my wife on the phone. And then there was a coworker, a lady. She, after I got off the phone with Teresa, she said, "What language were you speaking?" And I said, "I'm speaking Tagalog or Filipino." And she looked at me straight face. She says, "Oh, are you Filipino?" And I think that was the first and last time that anybody's ever looked at me with a straight face and asked me if I'm Filipino. So maybe she thought the Philippines was in Europe. I don't know. But the Philippines is in Asia. And some of our bordering countries are China to the west, northwest, Taiwan, Japan to the north, and Indonesia, Malaysia to the south. So we're in Luzon. The Philippines is made up of three, I guess, informal districts, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. So we're in the northern part of the Philippines, about 4 hours or 120 miles north of Manila. So here's some of the places that we've ministered to in the past, I guess, few years, and mainly in Luzon. The Philippines was a Spanish territory for about 300 years, and it was under Spanish rule until 1899, the U.S. purchases the Philippines with Guam, I believe, and Puerto Rico for $20 million. So it became a U.S. territory during that time. And it was a big battleground during World War II. So it used to be called Philippine Islands, and that's what we referred to it when it was a U.S. territory. It became an independent country in 1946. So a little history there. The Philippines has two national languages, Filipino or Tagalog and English. And because it was a U.S. territory, most Filipinos can communicate in basic English. But there are 120 different dialects in the Philippines. So it's similar to India, if that way. You might have heard stories about India. But most of our pastors can probably communicate in three or maybe even four different languages. But they're within the Philippine languages. So, and Spanish never really became a thing in the Philippines. So although there's a few words that are similar, they have their own language and it never really got inundated like the Latin American countries and Mexico and places like that. So our main ministry is theological classes. So our job is to train pastors. That's what we went to go do. That's our main ministry, is to train pastors. So everything is about pastoral training. So we have four different locations where we do this pastoral training. The first one is in our city of Baguio. We are about 5,000 feet above sea level, and we take the long, windy road up to the city of Baguio. So it's in the mountainous place. So this is where we live, and this is where we train pastors and leaders. And we actually had it in our house. And Kelvin and Dan Hawkins, they came to our house back in 2016. But after COVID, we kind of moved the location to our church. And we go to a different church now, and it's got a big space where we can train. So we have training every Sunday afternoon. And we have two or three pastors that join, and leaders as well. It's open to anybody. So we have class, and we've taught hermeneutics, theology, and we've done a whole program in our city of Baguio. Our second class that we have here is in La Union. It's called Bawang La Union. It's about an hour and a half from our city going down. It's near the coastal area, kind of not too far from the beach. And it is hot and humid all the time. So we don't have air conditioning. We just kind of get by with whatever. Before we met with a place with electric fan in the church. The church is kind of like under almost like a big carport. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's not for parking cars. But we decided that under the trees were a little bit cooler. And so we've been meeting under the trees. And this pastor here to the right is named Pastor Gerlin. And it's amazing. He has to get up at 3:30 and travel 3.5 hours to get to our class. Because he's actually coming from the mountains. And he rides. So he has to walk up 30 minutes. There's no road from his house. So he has to walk up 30 minutes of a long trail to get to the main road. And then take another 3-hour ride to get to our class. So very dedicated. And he plants what we call chayote. We call it sayote in the Philippines. It's kind of like a green vegetable. You can see it you can actually buy it at any grocery store. It's not very common to eat here in the States. But it's from Mexico. But it also grows in the Philippines too. So that's his livelihood. And then on the weekends, he's pastoring a church in the mountains. So we have a really good group of pastors and leaders. So we do in afternoons, I teach the morning sessions together. It's a joint group. In afternoons, men go under the trees, the mango trees, and then the ladies stay a little bit with electric fan. And that we have Teresa teaches the ladies class in the afternoon, the theology class, because we have enough ladies to actually have a little afternoon class and separate the classes. So the other guy that's teaching with me, oops, went too far here. His name is Pastor June. And there he is here, if you can see him with the arrow. He is kind of my co-teacher. He graduated from our training center back in 2014. And, well, he's a big asset to have because he can speak a lot of the tribal language, which even me and Teresa cannot speak. Because she comes from a different tribal group. So he's really good at also making connections with the pastors. So we're very thankful to have him. He's actually teaching our classes even now while we're here in the States. So we're able to continue our four theological classes even while we're on our furlough. So there we are in our class there. Our third class is in a place called Abatan Bugues. It's about 3 hours. It's further up the mountain. And you can see that everybody's wearing jackets in the photo because it's cold. We're in the mountains. Not cold, cold. It's like 55 degrees is not cold. But for them it is. Well, it is for me. I've adjusted. But for a lot of people, it's not that cold. But it can be cool, and people are wearing jackets. It's definitely a big change of weather compared to where we were in the near the coastal area. So you can see that people are wearing jackets here. And so there we are training, and we have a good group of people there in the mountains. Pastor Albert, the guy here holding the coffee, he's our host pastor, and we normally have it at his house. And it's right along the road, so it makes it very convenient to have our classes there in his place. And there we are at Pastor Albert's house teaching. So my last picture, or my last class, this has been going on the longest. We've been doing this class for 8 years already, actually. We started in May of 2016, and it continues to go on. And I think I like this class the best because they're just so interested in the Word. I tried to have a graduation for them in May of 2019, and they said, "We don't want to graduate. We just want to have class." So, because they knew that if they graduated, we would move on to another place. And that was our original goal, was to, like, you know, teach in one place, you know, reach the rural pastors, the mountain pastors, and maybe go to another place. But I said, well, I don't see any verse in the Bible that says thou shalt have a graduation and move on to another place. I didn't see that in the scriptures anywhere. So we just continue to have class. And there's about 9-10 pastors in this group. And they just love the discussion of the Word of God. And it's just an amazing group of pastors. A lot of them are their tent-making activity. Because they pastor very small churches, 20 to 40, 50 people, maybe up to 60. But they cannot support a full-time pastor. So most of them are organic farmers or plant. They're farming during the weekdays, and they're pastoring on the weekends. So that's very common in these places where they're farmers or planters, and they grow different vegetables around. And another ministry that we do, so everything is pretty much centered around a pastoral training ministry. But what we also do as well, we have this church strengthening ministry, and a lot of times I get invitations to speak or to teach or to preach at different churches. A lot of our pastors are pastoring different churches around the Philippines. So this guy here, he is from Baguio City. Pastor Marlin is his name. And back in 2017, he got assigned to be the pastor of a church in Binyan, Laguna. It's about an hour south of Manila. So him and his family relocated to Laguna. And he asked me to come and preach and share the Word of God. And we go there a couple of times a year. So this is at their church anniversary, taken, I believe it was 2024, February 2024. So in the Philippines, they really make a big deal about church anniversaries. I know in the States, I think like the 25-year church anniversary, the 50, you know, some churches 100 years, you know, they might celebrate that, right? But we don't do church anniversary celebrations every year. But they do. It's like how we do marriage anniversary celebrations or birthdays. They do it every year. So every year they have a guest speaker, and they have food, and they bring people in. This was in the afternoon, so we have it at a different time than the morning, so other people can come from different churches and celebrate. So it's a big deal. So Pastor Marlin here, he is pastoring three churches right now, and one of them is 6 hours from his place here in Laguna. One of the pastors had to step down for medical reasons, so it left a vacancy in the church. It's in a rural area, 6 hours from his place, and there's no one else to handle it. So he goes there once a month to visit this church. And another time a month, once a month, he sends one of his guys that he's training. His name is Pastor Joshua. He goes up there and trains. Another twice a month, he does there's another guy within the local church that kind of teaches and fills in. So he's a busy man. He prepares all the sermons for each of the three churches. So he does all that. And then they're not yet equipped to make their own teachings and preachings. So that's normally what he does. Also, he pastors another church about 30 minutes away in a place called Cavite. So he's a busy, busy pastor. So very thankful for him. And he's teaching his congregation in hermeneutics, things like that. Here's another place that we went to, a church in a place called Cavite. And that's about another hour south of Manila in another location. And it's a group of people that we just met a couple of years ago. Actually, 2023. So we got invited to speak at the anniversary. This is a place called Tarlac. Tarlac is about halfway between Manila and Baguio. A guy here we call Pastor Jiggs, and he's pastoring the church there. Another church in Pangasinan. And a pastor that I met in Baguio that he invited me to speak there. So this is our home church. We attend and we're members of this church. It's CBCF, stands for Cordillera Bible Christian Fellowship. So the guy here in the right of the picture is Pastor Jason, and this guy, Pastor Ben, he pastors in another location. He was just a guest speaker at the time. And Pastor Froy, F-R-O-I, and he's the assistant pastor of the church. And I'm like the official, I guess, Bible teacher equipper kind of guy. So that's my role in the church. So we've been part of this church now for almost 4 years. Pastor Jason sat under my theological training in Baguio. And so he is very much into equipping, into evangelism, and he's just really fervent for spreading the word of God. So that's what me and Teresa do. She equips the ladies, and I equip the men and the leaders in the church. So we just have a lot of fun. And a lot of our ministries are coming from this local church ministry that we were involved in. So here's another church. This is our daughter church. So about 7 years ago, before we got to that church in Baguio, Cordillera Bible Christian Fellowship, they planted a church in the rural area of the province, about 4 hours from Baguio. It's a place called Abinganan Nueva Vizcaya. And one of our students, the past year or so, we installed him as a pastor. His name is Pastor Paul right there. And he is the pastor. He's pastoring this church here in Vizcaya. So we, from time to time, we go as a group and check up on them. Normally, our church sends somebody there once a month just to check up on how things are there. But we personally don't go there, but maybe a couple of times a year. But here we are at I think it was the pastor's installation that we were there. Another church. I'll go back here. Sorry, I thought I... All right. This is Pastor Bernard. He's one of my students in Bugues. And he's a pastor, and he's pastoring this church in the mountains. So we got a chance to visit this church as well one time. And so I'm very thankful. The past year, through Village Ministries, I got the chance to go to Sri Lanka and Zambia, and through VMI. And so this was really challenging because we had to cover some very controversial topics. Yeah, there is. It's on my tongue. So the doctrine of eternal life and the doctrine of spiritual gifts a little bit, mainly focusing on the position that, you know, that there are certain gifts that God gave the church that are not functioning any longer after the first century. So it's hard because, you know, these pastors had a lot of questions. And so with the first day we did like more like hermeneutics, just kind of a hermeneutical review. A lot of them had foundations through Drew and other people that came there, and they've taught foundations. But we just felt like it was time just to go through and just do a review. You know, we always can't go hard. You can't go wrong with doing a review. And then we talked about these controversial topics. So it was a blessing to go there. And we had about 11 in the group in Sri Lanka. And the guy to my right here, his name Emmanuel. This was Drew's translator as well from his last trip that he went. And I'm sure you've read the report and I'm sure he's talked about it. But he's just a great guy. His name is Emmanuel. And just a really good translator. And you know, you wonder with translators, because you kind of like, are they going to say what you're actually saying? Are they going to introduce some kind of theological bias? So that's your concern. But Peavy, one of our guys there, he wasn't translating, but he could understand everything that guy was saying. And he said he did an excellent job. He translated exactly what you said and into the language that they were wanting to speak. So in this group, they all speak Tamil. And Tamil has 200 letters in their alphabet. So my 30 pages of notes was translated into the Tamil language, became 60 pages. So I was like, I was amazed. And anyway, so it was a lot of fun having to be in fellowship with these pastors and being a part of their ministry and just hearing their stories. I want to share about one here. The guy here in the middle in the red shirt, he was a Hindu before becoming to know Jesus. And he was a little bit aggressive as well. And he didn't want anything to do with Christianity. So the guy here in the blue shirt, he was a pastor. He was trying to reach out to the community. And the guy in the red shirt here was persecuting him and threatened to kill him. He was threatening him. But over time, the guy, this older pastor, wanted to work with him, talked to him, and showed grace to him, showed love to him. And this guy becomes a Christian. So he comes to know the Lord. And then he wants to become a pastor. So he's involved in training this guy. And then he finds interest in his daughter and he marries his daughter. So the persecutor becomes the son-in-law. So when I heard that story, I was amazed on what God does in people's lives. You know, so watch out, you know, if somebody's persecuting you, it might end up in your family eventually. So I thought that was a pretty amazing story. So I went to Sri Lanka in January 2023. My next trip I got to do in October was in Zambia. And Dan Hawkins and Peter from Kenya, we all meet up in Zambia. And that's in southern Africa. So I fly from the Philippines and we all meet up there. And our job is to do, it's kind of like a scouting mission. And the reason that Dan went there was to kind of scout it out to see if something that would VMI could work with in the future, that we could have a future ministry with this group. Because he's wanting to teach foundations. And Zambia is a country where it was a British colony or territory before. So they all can kind of speak limited English, which we're very thankful for. But when I went to the church, I went to a church there, I needed a translator. And just because it was in a rural village, so I had a translator into their native Bemba language. And so we did two-days pastors' conferences in Zambia. Now the first one here, this group are village pastors in Zambia, northern Zambia. And I had my story wrong. I've been sharing with people that 10 of them did not have a Bible out of the 40. But Dan corrected me a few days ago when I met with him. He said not 10 didn't have a Bible. 35 out of 40 did not own a Bible. And so they were just, you know, when they preach or teach, they just use bits and pieces. I don't know if some of them have like they borrow a Bible but they didn't have a Bible that they could call their own, a full Bible, you know, New Testament, Old Testament. So out of this group that we had, 30, five or so out of the 40, most of them didn't own Bibles. We were able to provide the funds so that they could have a Bible and they could share out of the Word of God. So we're very thankful for that. And they all had, they all got a book of foundations. And that's what we did. We taught chapter 1 and chapter 4 foundations. And this place doesn't have any seminary at all nearby. You know, in the Philippines, we do have, there's not everywhere we go, but many places they could drive a couple hours or whatever, maybe to a seminary. And sometimes there's, maybe the problem is in the Philippines is seminaries, they're not teaching, you know, great theology, or and they're not grounded in hermeneutics. And that's why we bring the seminary to the local villages and things like that. This place, the seminary is really far away. So these pastors, a lot of them don't have even a high school degree. And so we were very thankful to train these pastors for 2 days and be in this church. So it was an amazing time of fellowship in the Word of God. So we didn't need a translator, but we spoke in very clear non-Southern English as much as possible. So I have to lose my accent, whatever Alabama accent I have left. So here we are, and this is where the host pastor to the left in the picture, and then the cooks. The ladies did an excellent job of taking care of us for our needs as far as our meals and things like that. And here we are, the host pastor for the time that took us everywhere. His name is Pastor Justin. And we drove his van probably maybe 1,000 miles throughout the Zambian country. Traffic is not a problem in Zambia, especially where we were going, but potholes were a big problem. So we never travel at night, and just for safety reasons as well. But Zambia is a little bit safer country than some of the other countries in Africa. But he did an excellent job. I'm not complaining at all, but the van did not have air conditioning, or it had it, but it didn't work. And so we didn't get it fixed, and the windows don't work very well in the back. So it was really hot in the van, and this is the middle of summer. Humidity is less because they have a higher elevation, but it was really hot, and we were drinking water, but we just had a lot of fun. It was a blessed trip. And thankfully, the van did not give us any problems until we actually broke down, but not until his home city. So what a thankful, I mean, that's a Thanksgiving as well, that we broke down. It did not break down until we got to his home city, where he knew his repair person and everything was fine. This lady to the right here, left in the picture, I don't know her name. I said, excuse me, what do I call you, ma'am? She says, call me Mama. So just a really friendly lady. This is his two grandkids, Pastor Justin's grandkids. So here's another picture of the pastors that we met in Zambia and one of the groups that we had. A lot of times we host mission teams. The Philippines is very open to the gospel. So we got a chance. Every year my dad comes to the Philippines and takes a visit. And he was a pastor before in a church in Alabama. And he's serving as an elder in the church that he's attending. So he's 74 years old and he still goes on mission trips and things like that. But we don't take him to very difficult regions, you know, mainly in this city. And so we're really thankful that he got a chance to visit. He took a break because of COVID. You know, the restrictions were very difficult. And there he is preaching in our church in Baguio and doing a seminar there in Baguio. We also had a VMI trip that came in November 2022. They did this mission trip, God of Hope. And we took them all around the Philippines, mainly in Luzon. And they shared to the different ladies in the mountains. Here they are in Abatin Bugues, where we have our theological training. So some of the pastors' wives and the ladies' groups that they have in their church, they got to hear this God of Hope seminar that the ladies did. And this is to strengthen our ladies' ministry in the Philippines. My aunt, my dad's sister, also got to go here as well. So I'm very thankful for that. It was one of her first mission trips. So we had a lot of fun chauffeuring the ladies around. Now, because of COVID, back in 2020, we never thought about doing online classes. That never even crossed our mind. I mean, it might have crossed my mind, but we're like, nah, that's just not something that's needed. Well, everything changed in 2020. So the nice thing is God worked it out where we expanded our ministry and we got to do Bible teaching, not just in our city of Baguio. People were not just joining Baguio, but around the Philippines. And even we had people, Filipino people working abroad in different countries. We had a group at one time join us for a long time. They were joining us from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And there were Filipinos working in that country. And a young lady joins us from Hong Kong. And we have some join us from Australia. And so we continue this ministry even now. So even after COVID, the pandemic restrictions settled down, we were able to continue our online Bible studies. And we can do it even living in Alabama and from being in Alabama. Also, we've done an eschatology class before. And Teresa, she's very much involved in ladies' ministry. The church in Alabama, it's near Mobile, a little town called Spanish Fort. They have a mission house that we live in and we stay in when we're on furlough. And this church, there's a retired missionary couple from Indonesia. They were missionaries in Indonesia for 40 years. They started this ESL, English as a Second Language, class for ladies and men. You know, in the U.S., we're a melting pot, right? And people are coming in legally and illegally. And what this church wanted to do was teach them in English. You know, it's really hard to be in the United States if you don't speak English. It's very difficult. And a lot of these ladies are from different countries, Japan, Korea, Brazil, Puerto Rico, Indonesia, Peru. There was a lady that Teresa met. So she joined this ministry, and she was not so much doing the English teaching, but every week they would have these Bible studies. And the lady, the missionary lady that was missionary in Indonesia, she was developing dementia. So she couldn't handle the Bible study anymore. So she turned it over to Teresa. And even while we were in the Philippines, she was meeting remotely with these ladies. So they would log on at, Teresa would log on at 11 o'clock p.m. because of the time difference. And one of the ladies from Japan would log on at midnight. That's pretty late. And then the ladies from the U.S., they would log on at 10 a.m. and they weren't working. So they still have their Bible study. So she's equipping theology and just going through different books of the Bible. And so this Bible study has been going on now for 5 years, face-to-face and remote. So she's looking forward to meeting these ladies face-to-face once we see them when we get back to Alabama. So one of the ladies from Japan, in the Philippines, it's predominantly Roman Catholic country, and pretty much everybody knows who Jesus is. There was one lady that asked the question, "Who is Jesus? I don't know much about him." And that's very humbling to hear that, you know, because even in growing up in Alabama, we all know who Jesus is, you know, but there's people around the world that rarely, they don't know much about Jesus at all. Who is Jesus? Now, they don't believe in him, many people, but they know who Jesus was, so what he did. And so it's an amazing group that they have. And now I'm just showing some pictures from our different, what our church ministry does. We have a family camp every year that we do where it's somewhat evangelistic, but also very much into discipleship. So our focus has been discipleship. So now I want to talk about briefly our church youth camp that we do. And Teresa handles the youth in our church. And she handles the Sunday school ministries as well in our local church. So our summer youth camp, COVID restrictions were the worst. We had the worst restrictions out of any country in the world, probably. So we followed the Chinese model of severe lockdown. So if your neighbor within your neighborhood tested positive for COVID, you can't go out of your home for a week. So they'll literally restrict your movement where you're locked down in your own home and you can't go out. Now they'll bring you the some of the government officials will make sure you have food and things, but during that time it was very strict. We also had age-based restrictions as well. Like if you're 60 and above, you're not allowed to leave your residence, and 19 and below, you're not allowed to leave your residence. Only for medical reasons. So even going to the grocery store, we'd have to have a pass. And one person per family could go out with this government pass issued to go grocery shopping once a week only. So because the Philippines were a very highly populated country. So they were worried about too many people being at the grocery store at one time. So they would limit your movement with this pass. So you go to the grocery store and you don't have that pass, they're not allowed to let you in. So it wasn't because of the grocery store, but it's because of the government restricting the grocery stores during that time. So very strict. And this was very hard on the kids. I remember in October, even these restrictions continued even into 2021. So this is like almost 2 years into the pandemic. And I remember going to the mall in October 2021, and I see a sign, no children under the age of 18. So it was very strict. And they were worried about kids getting COVID and passing it on to their... A lot of times in the Philippines, the grandparents live with the family. So it's not like, you know, the grandparents live separately. So they had to have like the extended family living together. I guess they were worried about them passing on to their grandparents, things like that. So it was very challenging for the youth of the Philippines during that time. And at one time in 2020, we had more suicides than directly related COVID deaths during early on in the COVID-19 pandemic. We had 15 suicides in our city, and that's just way too many. So the youth not all those people were young people, but what I'm saying is mental health was a very big issue, and it was just really hard. Very strict. We couldn't go from one place to the other. The local governments limited your movement. So we had no freedom for literally 2 years during that time. It was very challenging. And so 2022, we decided to start our youth ministries again as a church. And we just had, we just really wanted to equip them and get them back to normal and just get them in the Word of God. So they started face-to-face classes in the Philippines for kids in August of 2022. So in Alabama, we started in August of 2020. So there were no face-to-face classes for 2.5 years. So you can imagine the mental anguish that it was for the kids mainly. And so we really started our youth fellowships again, summer camp, summer ministries, youth fellowships. And every year we have a youth retreat that we do. And they even did Christmas Carol fundraisings the past couple of years during this time. So youth ministry is a big thing that we work on in our church. I mentioned about the youth retreat that we had. It's not all fun and games. We actually do a lot of teaching. So we try to mix Bible teaching with games and activities. And Teresa handles the Sunday school ministry in our church. And we also have men's fellowship in our church as well that we do every so often. So we have a very active church ministry that we're very thankful that we're part of the past 4 years. And this is Teresa's favorite ministry, I can say, is her ladies' Bible study every Friday night with the ladies of our church. So they've been going through different theology classes and also different verse-by-verse studies. We're actually using Drew Freeman's notes from the book of Acts. And so when we met with Drew a couple of days ago, we had a chance to ask him a lot of questions because the book of Acts is not easy. You think, oh, it's just a bunch of history. Well, but there's a lot of stuff going on that maybe not normative for today. You know, you have to explain all that. And so Teresa had the privilege of, you know, going through it. And actually this past Friday, she did her Bible study online in this room here. And we just did it. She did it remotely. She had to do it at 6 a.m. because it's 7 p.m. Philippine time. And you can see that the ladies are very much active and involved in different Bible studies and groups and seminars that we do and equipping. So we're very thankful for that aspect of our ministry. Also, one of our ministries that we do is marriage ministry and mentoring. And this guy here, his name is Alex. He's a fellow accountant like me, and he wanted to do a half marathon. So, you know, got to do a half marathon with him. I love running, so it's a, and so we get a lot of fun discussing different things. And just we're taking couples out to eat, talking to them before they get married or after they get married. Another ministry that we do is sports ministry. I'm the coach at their kids' school, and we do track and field. Every year they have a competition, so I get to coach them. And basketball is a very important part of the ministry as well. So prayer requests before I briefly answer, we can ask some questions if that's okay. Pray for us. We still got another 3 weeks left on the road. We came in May of 2020, a month ago, May 3, and we flew into Seattle. We spent some time in the Northwest. I have family up there. Teresa has family. We were there for 8 days. We flew to Los Angeles and then drove from Los Angeles to here and over and visiting some different churches. We've been in Texas the past 3 weeks. And now we're on our way to Tulsa this afternoon and go to Maryland next week, Southern Maryland, where we'll be up there for about a week and a half. We finally get to Alabama in July, first week of July. So just pray for our travels. Pray for the kids as they adjust to their new school. They'll be attending a school in Alabama starting in August. And we plan to go back to the Philippines sometime next summer. So normally we do 4 years in the Philippines and 1 year in the U.S., and that's normally our schedule. So just pray that we'll have a successful, fruitful year of ministry as well. Do we have any questions? I want to get some opportunities for questions and answers. Don't be shy. The first question is always the hardest. Somebody's got to raise their hand. I bet you have this question, probably. But a lot of people ask, is it dangerous there when it comes to like persecution? Thankfully, no. The Philippines is one of the most open countries for the gospel. And we can even do public school ministries that's not even allowed here in the U.S. And so don't tell the ACLU. They might try to go there and mess up there. But that obviously, it is a religious country. We, you know, predominantly Roman Catholic and very few atheists. There's not this secular humanism that has an influence compared to the West. But our main struggle is grace versus works. You know, how is one made right with God? Is it by grace through faith or is it by works? So that's our biggest struggle. And with the evangelical churches, it's always a battle of grace. That's our biggest struggle as far as like, you know, you're saved by grace, you live by grace, and you're kept by grace. So if we can get that through our pastors, that would be wonderful. You know, it's always a struggle, though. So it's always about grace. So there's the first question. Yeah. Yes, it is actually. Unfortunately, so before Islam was really in the southern part of the Philippines in Mindanao, and it's been in the Philippines for over 1,000 years actually. So even before the Spanish came, but it's moving north, and in Islam, a husband can have up to 4 wives, and you can have up to 4 wives in the Philippine laws. And so they make that provision for Islamic people, but not for other people. So their population is growing faster than the rest of the Philippines. And they're moving north and they're coming to, there's actually a larger influence in our neighborhood where we live in, at our church neighborhood. There's a big Islamic population. And we have not majority, but a big, large minority of people. So we had a group, is an evangelical group. Their focus is trying to reach out to Muslim people. And it's very difficult because it's more on friendship evangelism. You know, you just don't walk up and share Christ. That's not a normal approach for an Islamic person. You have to make connections. And it's a slower approach, which is good. It's just challenging. Everything goes a lot slower. So there's Christian groups that we're trying to really bring in and show how to share the gospel with Muslim people. But it's a challenge. It's becoming more and more of a challenging in that area. Yes? How big is your We have, how big is Baguio? 500,000? 300,000. Do you count La Trinidad or no? I'd say between 300,000 to 400,000 people. But it's a very small geographically. It was founded by Americans, actually. And he designed the city for 25,000 people to live in. And now we're close to 300,000 to 400,000 people. So we've outgrown our space. It's because we're higher elevation, so everybody likes the cooler weather. And it's not as humid as the rest of the Philippines. But we have just, we are experiencing some major growing pains. And it's just really hard to live because it's just, when she grew up as a girl, it was a lot less people. And she's born and raised in Baguio, but now it's just so many people. So just pray for that. You know, how do you tell people to stop coming? Because you want to be hospitable, but it's driving the cost of land really high. And it's just creating strains on the resources, you know, regarding water and even electricity, things like that. It's just becoming really challenging. Smoke pollution from the cars, the diesel fumes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had the same amount of problems that everyone else did. Maybe early on, when people were not moving as much, but it didn't really it just delayed for a few months. And then by the time we got later on, it was just all over. But so it didn't, I personally, not to get too political, I don't think it really worked that well, you know. And the problem is with economic devastation. Here in the U.S., we had the first COVID stimulus, second, third. I think some people got $20, equivalent to $20 US as their stimulus. And a lot of times, if you're a driver of a public transportation, buses, they shut down for 3 months. There was no public transportation. Most Filipinos rely upon public transportation, so they would literally walk a couple of miles to the grocery store when the worst part of the COVID restrictions. And then if you restrict seating capacity on the bus to half, 50%, the drivers are not compensated. The owners of the buses are not compensated for not, you know, for less people on the bus, because that's a very high fixed cost, you know. So they didn't get anything. It was economically devastating. The tourist industry was devastated. And it was just really challenging. And they just didn't have, I don't know how people survive, but the Lord got us through it all. And, you know, it was really challenging, but it worked. Thankfully, the Lord took care of everybody. So, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, the good news is some of them are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And a lot of them, they remain quiet or secret about their faith, especially the women. There's a lady in our neighborhood. She teaches at the a local kindergarten. She still has, because her husband has not converted. And so she still wears the dress. She still looks like somebody that's an Islamic woman. But she's very much a believer. And her husband knows that she's a believer. Her kids know, but she can't just broadcast it. I think it's because of the danger that it poses to her life. And she wants to be just privately share the gospel, but not, you know, hey, I'm a Christian now, like that, you know, that kind of thing. Because it's dangerous, especially if you're a woman. And even a man. We talked to former Islamic people. They're threatened they could be killed by their family members, or by if they leave the faith. They're an infidel now, you know. So it's very dangerous for some of them. Yeah. So even Filipino Muslims. Do we have any other questions? Yes.
It's off the subject.
Sure.
Do they still have jitneys there?
Yes. Yes and no. So there's bad news. They're phasing them out. Yeah, because they're kind of going more to the minibus approach. And so there's still a lot of jeepneys there. But because of the smoke belching from the cars, they're diesel engines, and they can create a lot of pollution just walking down the road. and things. So the government's trying to phase them out. That's a big controversial issue right now, because what's going to happen to the jeepney owners? Can they afford to? Their jeepneys are where you're facing each other side to side. It's like a little minibus, but the driver's here and you're sitting like this, facing the other people on the side of the jeepney. You're sitting sideways, basically. Yeah. But they're kind of phasing them out. Well, thank you so much. And I guess, do I need to turn it over to Kelvin, or do I close in prayer? Okay. Father, we're so thankful for this morning. And thankful, Lord, for the work that you're doing in the Philippines and around the world. And we just thankful for what your Son has accomplished on the cross for our sins. Pray that we will do all things today and just give us understanding of your word as we come to the text later this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.